Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the interesting injection of volatility elsewhere this week revealed once again that FX is slow to react to intermarket developments. And according to Saxo Markets, there are subplots within the G10 abound. However, the US dollar and Japanese yen race are joined. Japanese yen are joined in the race to the bottom in recent sessions by the Kiwi. And to find out more about his latest report, we're joined on the line today by John Hardy, and he's the head of FX strategy at Saxo Markets. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Keeping well, safe and healthy where you are?
Definitely. It's pretty crazy to contrast here in Denmark, where there's, they did a very good job in clinching down the COVID-19 outbreak. So nobody's wearing masks. And it's a rather different environment from other places up in Europe, Germany and UK especially, where it's a much different picture. So we'll see how long it lasts. I suspect mask wearing is going to make a return here as well.
Yeah, well, masks are in full force here in Singapore. Now, John, I want to start off by asking you, the strong rise in U.S. yields was a chance for the U.S. dollar to shine, but, it largely failed to do so. And with a bit of risk appetite back in the market, where do you see the U.S. dollar going?
Well, it's really going nowhere at present. And, I did put out that report that the dollar, with these rise in U.S. yields, you would tend to see the dollar stronger. But if the rise is coming from fears that inflation is running ahead of the policy rates and that there's no reason to own U.S. debt, of course, that's a dollar negative story. Regardless, it was just a disappointing to see that an injection of an interesting volatility and something that's been so quiet, that is the bond market, not really propagating through to FX much. So, dollar not sending signals off, I still suspect the dollar is generally more focused on risk appetite and is the flip side of any further run higher or lower in risk appetite from here. That's the main focus. We're also waiting for the stimulus news. When is that forthcoming? It looks like there's a bit of a standoff. I could see that stretching into September. The bigger and more generous the stimulus, potentially the more negative for the dollar. And then, of course, it's a difficult season for FX trade. Yes, exactly, the elections and the uncertainty there, and the sprint to November 3rd, and whether we even get any conclusion on November 3rd because of the chaos around mail-in voting, and whether it could take months even to figure out what the result is. It's a very different setup than we had last time, where it was so clear, over a space of a couple of hours on election night.
So, which way do you see the dollar swinging, depending on the outcome?
Well, I think the longer term, we need to see the dollar lower. There's so much of the global debt that is denominated in dollars, and the easiest route out is through negative real rates, through a weaker dollar. It just helps to reflate the global economy and get us to the other side of this debt mountain. I just see that the path to that eventuality, I think, could be difficult, could be fraught, however, if the vaccine hopes that clearly seem to be rather optimistic at the moment, if this turns out to be a longer process than feared, the growth slowdown potential after this first splash of stimulus has failed to, if it's not continued at the same pace or even upped. And then as well, the fact that the Fed's balance sheet is not growing here, and the stimulus is not coming through to the degree it was in that initial reaction phase. And the Fed, I think, a bit cautious to add on too much with where some of the speculative and frothier bits of the market are at the present time. So long-term dollar bear, short to medium term, I think it's difficult, especially around election scenarios.
And let's talk about, just going back to yields, the rise in yields has proven a little bit more decisive for the Japanese yen, hasn't it?
It has indeed, and that's a classic correlation you'll see. So when U.S. yields pick up, classically, the Japanese yen is the first to suffer. And it's actually quite interesting there as well, because technically dollar yen had suffered a bit of a technical meltdown below 106, and even down testing some multi-year lows below 105, and then it popped right back up as soon as this yield rise reared up. So I think the only path for the Japanese yen higher is if you get both a renewed fall in yields and a strong one, together with just a general deleveraging across asset markets. And of course, that's not what we're seeing right now.
We've also got GDP numbers out from Japan this weekend with a forecast of minus 7.6 for the quarter, I believe. What impact do you see that having on the currency?
It's the Japanese yen is one of the least reactive currencies to its own sort of domestic economic environment, because so much of the Japanese yen is about the enormous stock of Japanese savings out there and how they slosh around the world. So they're really looking at things like carry trades, interest rates, risk appetite, and risk sentiment in general. So, but with that in mind, I wouldn't expect a surprise to really be felt much in FX here. And to me, the most salient technical development in the yen has been this dollar yen reversal. It just keeps sort of boring and within the range here. And so we're awaiting next steps.
Okay. And, you know, we've seen quite a bit of action with the euro. Do you see this topping out, or could we see the euro reverse lower against the yen?
That's a very good question, the euro yen. The euro, to me, seems a little bit excessively bid up relative to what's going on.
Okay.
With, first of all, COVID-19 outbreaks. I mean, we we had the story there, the narrative there for a while that it was the U.S. that was the only place where major economy was mishandling this, besides a couple of other EMs. But we're seeing that it's just so difficult to get on top of this virus, and we're seeing some renewed fears across Europe. So that part of the story has been taken away as well. Again, the Fed is not expanding its balance sheet here. I just don't see the fundamentals that are driving the euro to go even higher from here. And positioning, it looks very stretched if we look at least at a barometer like the U.S. Futures market, which is almost at historic extremes in absolute levels and is at a historic extreme in terms of the speculative long and euro. So all that adding up to it, I think the upside here in the short term is very difficult for euro, or very difficult to come by, and could be slow, if at all. Breakdown below 117, we could be looking towards back towards 115 again pretty soon. But the chart looks, you know, the chart technically looks bullish, but I think there's some risks here in the short term.
We're speaking to John Hardy, head of FX strategy at Saxo Markets. Looking at other G10 currencies, though, John, who do you see leading the pack at the moment?
The euro has been leading the pack at the moment, together with the Canadian dollar and Norwegian krona. A bit interesting there, the last two very oil-linked. And we've seen oil trading close to the recent highs of the range and perhaps looking a bit further out the curve. These vaccine hopes, you would imagine, would trigger one of the first commodities to recover could be the oil energy markets, with renewed demand, renewed activity on the ground. And given the very bad price shock, and there perhaps if that scenario does eventuate, you would see the risk of a supply shock as supply has a hard time catching up with a sudden renewal in demand. So I think maybe that's some of the story driving that. I have my doubts about the Canadian dollar's ability to get significantly stronger here versus the U.S. dollar, but it has broken some interesting technical levels, so we're in sort of a breakdown phase there. Norwegian krona as well, but the euro has been very strong, together with the Swiss franc too. And I think, as I already outlined, I think the euro is getting a bit extended relative to the background support for it.
And staying in Europe, just want to get your thoughts on what's happening with the pound at the moment, because we are seeing some developments on the COVID-19 front in the UK and in terms of travel restrictions within Europe as well. So what are your thoughts on what's happening with the pound at the moment? The British economy now into a recession as well. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, it got hit the worst of any major economy by the COVID. The minus 20% quarter on quarter GDP drop was staggering. But sterling in exchange rate terms, very much in a holding pattern. We're all waiting for, I think, post-COVID and seeing how this post-transition, Brexit transition period, what kind of trade deal that will result in. You know, there is the story of pent-up demand eventually returning to an investment demand returning to the UK. By the same token, this is a country that has run perma-deficits externally. So it's really a situation that's fraught with uncertainty, and I still see some risks for sterling to the downside, even if it is cheap for a good reason.
Now, let's talk about New Zealand as well, because we've had COVID-19 news out of New Zealand, and that's a weight on the currency. But do you think that's short-lived? And where are you on the Aussie dollar at the moment as well?
Yeah, Aussie dollar has been Aussie has been very much tracking the recovery in a lot of commodity prices post the COVID-19 shock, especially iron ore in China has just been going ballistic. That is their number one by export Aussie dollar volume to the rest of the world is iron ore. So that's a key support there. On the other hand, they've been hit pretty bad by COVID. So if this global growth, renewed outlook proves a little bit premature, I'd have my doubts there as well. I think there could be one more setback for the Aussie, even if we are looking for a more inflationary and reflationary future down the road. So that's my thoughts on Aussie. The Kiwi is very interesting because of not only the sudden renewal of COVID-19 outbreaks there, where it was thought there were pretty mm-hmm. much eliminated the disease, and apparently maybe have come through a shipment of cold storage. It's about the RBNZ, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, being basically at war with the currency. They, on a trade-weighted basis, it recently touched multi-year highs. They don't want that higher. They don't want that serving as a hurdle to economic recovery. They're getting pretty explicit about their intent to lean against the currency in terms of actual intervention, and they have a history of doing that, so they're credible there. And as well, the RBNZ talking about they're an active preparation, quote-unquote, for negative rates. So
right.
They're really just firing on all fronts to weaken the currency, and it's succeeding at the moment.
So a lot of wait and see in terms of COVID-19 news. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us today. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for, but it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, likewise. All the best.
Thank you. We've been speaking with John Hardy, head of FX strategy at Saxo Markets, here on Money FM.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.